This morning we're going to be in chapter 19 of Acts, and so if you want to go ahead and turn there. This is a passage for so many years now, I guess I've wanted to preach on this passage, but nothing ever sunk in, I guess you might say, until this past week I began to look at it again, because I'd kind of put it aside, I'd underlined it and set it aside, and that's as far as I got. Well, this past week, as I'm sitting there praying over this Sunday, I began to look at this passage again, and it just felt like this was where we needed to be this morning. And so I want to ask you a question to start off with, and it seems like a pretty pointed question. And for those of you that are visitors today, I don't apologize. This is just me, and I'm going to probably mess up at some point. I just do that one way or another. But this is my question, and it's pretty pointed. Do you see God working in and through your life? Now, our first thought is, you know, I go to church. I'm a Christian. I try to, follow God's word, and I try to do the things that He sets before me. And we should do all of those things. But my question to you this morning is a little bit more pointed than that. I want you to personally ask yourself, do you see God working in your life? Or do you see you as just floating along doing the Christian thing? Because we can get in that habit sometimes of just drifting along down that good stream that God's called us on and not letting God do things in our life, not allowing Him to work in our life. Because that's what happens sometimes when we set back and we look and we see what our world is today, and we understand the negatives that are out there, but they seem so overwhelming. They seem like there is no way that we can prevail. There's no way that my little corner of Stockton that I can change much. Well, that's the key. You're not going to change anything. I'm not going to change anything. But my God and your God wants to change everything. But the problem is, we don't want to give that up. So this morning, we're going to look at a passage, and it really talks about some negative things. But I think there's a lot in there for us. So if you would, we're going to start reading in verse 11. Just a few short verses here. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And an evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?' Then the man in whom the evil spirit was in leaped on them, overpowering them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." Let's pray. God, we lift your word to you today. And unless you intervene, it's just somebody reading out of a book. Lord, don't let that be. Lord, may your spirit take the word of God and enlighten it to us. We need you. We pray that you would give us the message you have out of this word. Lord, that we would take it, apply it to our lives, and glorify and honor you. Lord, prevail this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this was always one of those passages that it seemed like, man, that ought to catch somebody's eye. But that's not what I want it to do. I want it to catch your heart. And that was the change. Because it doesn't say much about Paul. Now, Paul had been around and he had preached the gospel and he had shared with people all over. And Paul had been given a special gift by Jesus. Now, this is not something that I can take a handkerchief out of my pocket and go down here and touch somebody and it's going to heal them. That's not the case. God had given Paul a very special blessing because of how things were at that time, that this was just something unusual, out of the ordinary, even from the other disciples. But Paul had been given this gift. And God, it says, worked unusual miracles. God had worked miracles through all of them, and even through Paul. And this is probably the only place in the Scripture that I can find where he did something like this, even through Paul, to where this type of miracle took place. So it even says it's unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, obviously, that tells us that it wasn't Paul. God did these miracles through Paul. That's key. Because when Paul allowed that to happen, what took place? We're going to look at four things here. If you're a note taker, there's four things that you'll be ready for. And I'll try to point those out. But what he does is when he allows God to work, I want you to see these same things may not happen, but I want you to see if things happen in your life when you allow God to work through you. Because sometimes we don't allow Him to work through us, but this is the possibilities that can happen when we will allow God to work through us just normally, not unusual miracles, but just normally. It tells us there down in verse 13 that when people began to see this, it says that they came together and they wanted that power. They wanted to be able to do those things that Paul did. They wanted to be able to cast out demons because that's what Paul did. They wanted to be able to heal the sick because that's what Paul did. And so they saw what Paul was doing, but they saw Paul. They didn't see God doing the things through Paul. They just saw this man. And if I go out and I do things, people might see me. I don't want them to see me. You don't want them to see you because that's going to lead to bad things. We want them to see the God behind the miracles. But Paul wasn't there at this time. And you and I, we're not always going to be there when people think, oh, well, I saw Ken do this, or I saw David do this, or it's not that type of deal that we can control what other people are going to do. But this is what can happen when you live and I live letting God work through us. It's going to change people. Those people, they went around and they were just traveling Jewish exorcists is really what they were. They just travel around and try to exorcise demons out of people. But what they do is they go and they find this guy and he's demon possessed and they're gonna try to take and they're going to use the name of Jesus. And they say, the Spirit says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Man, they wanted the power that Paul had. But they didn't know the relationship that brought about that power. When people see you and me, do they just see us? Or do they get to see the power behind us? Now, most of you are like me. When you find somebody, if you've accepted Christ, and you meet somebody that you knew at a reunion, and they knew you back when, they're going to think, what in the world? That's not the same guy I knew. That's not the same girl I knew. That's what we want. We want them to see Jesus in us, and we want them to realize, hey, I knew that guy back when, and that is not the same person. Or I knew that girl back when, and something has happened to her, and she's a whole lot different than she was back then. Then that gives us the opportunity to share with them what that power is that changes it. But when they said, we exercise in verse 13, it was all about them. They wanted the power. when they said, we exercise. No, you don't. It was the power of God. Paul never said, I cast you out in my name. It was always in the name of Jesus. But they wanted that power. They wanted the results. I wonder if people see my life and your life and they ever wonder, man, I just wish that in the situations that I go through, I wish I could make it through like those people do. There's something in their life that they get through these situations that are terrible, and I just don't know what it is, but they've got something. They've got to have something, because I see other people can't get through that same situation. And then I see them, and there's something special about them because they get through it. That they understand because they want the results. These people wanted the results without having the relationship. They wanted to use the name of Jesus for their own benefit. Anytime we want to use the name of Jesus for our benefit, something bad's about to happen. We don't have things here at the church for our benefit. We don't take an offering for our benefit. We don't have hallelujah parties or fall family fun nights for our benefit. It's for the glory of God. But that's not where they were at. Because they didn't know. Because they were still thinking we. I wonder if people see the power in us. And they want it. Well, they can't see it unless it's there. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit dwells within every Christian. But if I'm quenching that Spirit, they'll never see that power. So the first one is, do they see the power that you have? Are you living through the power? Allowing God to work through you. The next one. The demons knew who Paul was. Think about that for just a moment. When they tried to cast out this demon, he says, well, I know Jesus and I know Paul. Ask yourself this question. Do you think your name has ever been uttered on the lips of Satan or a demon? That's maybe a scary thought, but what I say that for is because of this. If you're a threat to him, he's going to be after you. If you're doing anything against his kingdom, and that's Satan's kingdom, then he's going to know your name. Paul was just preaching the gospel, going through preaching the gospel, doing the things that God allowed him to do, working through him. And when that happened, his name was mentioned by a demon because he was a threat to that demon. I wonder if my name is ever mentioned. I wonder if my name is ever mentioned. Next. Now this tells us that this is what happened and this man, he overpowered them, and it says that he prevailed against them. And when he did, everybody began to know about this. Hey, and it was a rumor mill like we have in small towns. Ephesus was able to say, did you hear about what happened? That guy, he tried to cast out that demon, and that demon said this, and that demon mentioned Paul's name. It mentioned Jesus and Paul. And everybody in Ephesus heard about it. And it wasn't a positive mention. It wasn't like they were telling them about Jesus dying on the cross. It wasn't that they said anything about Paul preaching the gospel. But Jesus' name was mentioned. And it says that everybody, all the Jews and Greeks, everybody dwelling in Ephesus, a fear fell upon them that they didn't understand. And the name of Jesus was magnified. Just mentioning the name of Jesus was, even by this demon, magnified Jesus. I wonder how much more he's magnified when his children mention his name. Do we mention his name enough? Do we And not just in passing, but do we share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Look at what happened when they just heard about Jesus. When they just heard about Paul preaching Jesus, it says in verse 18, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Don't miss that one word in there that says many who had believed. Because that's very key. So that's telling me that many who had believed changed and now they're confessing their deeds. Well, when you confess, that's you've done something wrong. Those of us that are wrong all the time, we have to do that. But he's saying that they confess their deeds, but they had believed before. And something changed to where they needed to confess. That tells me that there are a lot of people that believe and haven't ever confessed. They believe in who Jesus was. They believe in what Jesus did, but they never made it personal to where it says that many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. So they believed, and then they began to change, and they confessed their deeds. It goes on in 19, it says, and also many of them who had practiced magic brought their books together, burned them in the sight of everybody. So they had believed, but now they were changed to confess and believe. And not only that, they knew that old lifestyle was not right, and so they burned those books. They were changing their lifestyle from what it used to be. They now realize that's wrong. It wasn't like they took those books and put them on a shelf that they'd go back to them later. And that amount that they give there, I looked this up, says 50,000 silver pieces. Said it would take 10 people about 20 years of worth of work to make that much money. That's how much these books cost that they burned. They were not planning on going back to that lifestyle. They had changed, began confessing, and turned from an old lifestyle. Why does that happen? When somebody just mentions Jesus and they realize that there's power in the name of Jesus and they realize that there's something there. God works through Paul's life. Paul's not even there and people begin to want to imitate him and they just begin to mention Jesus' name and they don't even believe he's the Messiah. They're just using it for their own benefit. And just using the name of Jesus, what it does is it gives Jesus an opportunity to be magnified and for people to see Him and see His power and be changed and changed from their old lifestyle. This last thing it says, in His Word, the Word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. It grew mightily and prevailed. You know what? I looked this up, and we all know what prevailed means, but I want to give you the dictionary definition. To prove more powerful than the opposing force. Do you realize that you have the opportunity through the Word of God, through the power of God, to prevail over this world, over society, over Satan? You have the opportunity to prove that the power in you is more powerful than the opposing force. We give the opposing force way too much credit. And I'm not saying that he's not powerful, but what I'm saying is we give him so much credit, we're so afraid of him, that fear takes away the power that we have through Christ. We don't acknowledge that power. Through Christ. And it comes here. The Word of the Lord. The Word of God grew mightily. Well, how did that happen? Because Paul wasn't even there. So how did the Word of God grow mightily when it's spoken by these sons of Sceva that are trying to cast out demons and all of a sudden people begin to change? And they begin to change and they confess and they turn from their old lifestyle and they begin to follow Jesus. And they probably went out because God's word prevailed, the power in their life prevailed, and they probably told somebody else. And then they told somebody else. Think about that. I remember hearing, I think it was Billy Graham one time years ago, he said, you know, if we could get one person in the congregation to go out and tell somebody next week about Jesus. And then those two come back. And then they go out the next week and each of them tell one person. And it begins to multiply. How fast the Word of God would be spread. How many times could that have happened and I broke the chain? How many times have we broke the chain of letting God's Word prevail in the place where we work, in the school where we learn, where we teach, where we do the things that God calls us to do? The Word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed because it changed people. It turned them away from that old lifestyle. They realized, hey, there's power out there. There's power in that stuff, but there's power in what happened through Paul. The power of God working through one person changed all of these people to where the Word of God prevailed and grew. Ask you some quick questions here as we close. People want to see the power in your life. Are you going to let them? Do the demons know your name? Only if you're a threat. Jesus is going to be magnified. Will you lift Him up? His Word is going to grow and prevail when He works through us and we share it. I don't know where you're at with Jesus, but I know that the same power that worked through the Apostle Paul wants to work through you. Now, I'm not saying He's going to do these type of things, but He'll take the power of the love of Jesus and we will share that. It may change someone's eternity. And that's powerful. If you've never accepted Christ, you may not understand what I've talked about here this morning with all of these powers and principalities and changing and all of these things. Don't let it get too difficult. But it all comes down to seeing that there's something out there that you want, that you know you don't have. And that's a relationship with Jesus. He's made that possible. But it's more than just knowing His name, because they did that. It's more than just believing some of the things that He did, because obviously many people believed. It comes down to changing. It comes down to turning and following Him. Reading His Word. Giving your life to Him. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, don't walk out of this place without doing that. Now, I'm not saying you have to come down here and talk to me, but talk to somebody. And for those of us that are Christians, people need to see Jesus in us. People need to see the power of God prevailing in our lives. And to prevail, it's got to prove more powerful than the opposing force. Is that what your life reflects? Because I know there's a lot of days when it doesn't reflect from mine. I know the power's there because it's God. But am I letting that power prevail over the one that's trying to push it down? You know the old cartoons where they used to have the little red guy on one side and the little angel on the other side? It's not really the way it works, but it's kind of that way. Which one's going to prevail? I can remember years and years ago, sitting in a youth group, a very wise person said, it's kind of like you got two dogs inside you, a white one and a black one, and whichever one's going to win is the one you feed the most. That's what it comes down to. Am I going to feed God, God's Word, into my heart, into my mind, or am I just going to inhale all that garbage from the world? You want to know who's going to prevail? Choice is up to you. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You and praise You for all that You do. We just ask that You move in this place. Lord, speak to us. Teach us, show us where we need to be, what we need to do. God, may we honor You and glorify You in every way. In Your name we pray. Amen.